and welcome to the What Would Kate Do podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about the upcoming tour of Canada that will be completed by the Cambridge family from September the 24th to October the 1st, 2016, as well as going over some additional details that you may not know about the upcoming tour. But first, can we talk about that theme song? I don't know if you're any different than Christine or I, but that song has been stuck in our heads all week, and we can't get it out. So hopefully you enjoy it as much as we do. We thought we'd start this episode off with an interview that I completed on behalf of What Would Kate Do recently for the CBC, or the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, in regards to the upcoming tour for Will and Kate. So we'll share with you that interview with the audio from CBC.
It's 19 minutes before 4 o'clock now. Have you heard the news? The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge officially announced details for their Canadian royal tour today. William and Kate are set to visit BC and the Yukon from September 24th to October 1st. Here in BC, they're going to stop in Vancouver, Victoria, Bella Bella, Haida Gwaii, and Kelowna. So to give us some insight into their visit and just why it's generating so much excitement, we have reached Vancouver's Amanda Disha. She is the co-creator of the blog What Would Kate Do? All about the life and style of the former Kate Middleton, now wife to the future King of England. Hello there, Amanda.
Hi, Gloria. How are you?
I'm very well. I'd like to know what was going through your mind when you found out that your heroine, Kate, will be coming here to Vancouver.
Yeah, it was a big day, big excitement. We've been expecting a Canadian tour for a while. It's been rumored for quite a few months, but to get the actual itinerary and see all the places that the Duke and Duchess are going to be visiting throughout the province was quite exciting.
So what do you think about the itinerary?
I think it's great. We were expecting that there might be a little bit of a wider geography. As you remember, or may not remember, in 2011, William and Kate did also come to Canada, but didn't get this far over to the West Coast. So this itinerary is quite exciting because it is really just focusing on British Columbia and, of course, the Yukon. So really focusing on the West Coast. Some of the press reports that have come out from the Kensington Palace, from the office of the Duke and Duchess, have actually said that they're really excited about the outdoors and all of the spectacular scenery that the West Coast has to offer. So they're going to see, like you mentioned before, Vancouver. They're going to go into the interior to see Kelowna. They're going to go out to the island. I think it's going to be a great tour.
Well, not only William and Kate, but they're going to have Prince George and Princess Charlotte in tow as well. How significant is it that they'll be traveling with their children?
Yeah, well, we haven't had that formally confirmed yet. We're still pending the final confirmation, but all indications are showing that we should see the little prince and princess as well. The biggest thing that we kind of see as an indication are that they seem to be setting up a home base, for lack of a better word, out of Victoria. And that seems to indicate that we may see the kids, just because they'll be able then to leave the children there and not have to go through some of the gruesome travel that they're going to have to go to. For example, one day they're going to have to go from Victoria to Kelowna to Whitehorse. So long travel days are not so much fun with small children. So really exciting that they're going to be here. Of course, we'll see two future kings if George and Charlotte do make the trip.
Oh, they're just little photo ops, though, aren't they? They're just so adorable. So, okay, our fingers are crossed on that front. I want to hear about your story, though. I mean, when did you start this blog and why? I mean, what do you find so inspiring about Kate?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So we started What Would Kate Do? It seems like forever ago, but really back in 2012. We were just, you know, normal girls. We had blogs in the past, Christine and I, just, you know, what we had for dinner, what we were wearing that day, and kind of never really went anywhere. And then we kind of got to know Kate. She kind of came out in the media right before the royal wedding. And I mean, I've personally always been interested in the royal family. So, you know, there's always been an interest there. But Kate was really kind of a normal girl who was thrust into extraordinary circumstances. And I think that's kind of part of the reason why she's so popular. I mean, she's obviously very stylish, but she's also very smart. She went to St. Andrews. She's got a history of art degree. She's down to earth, or as much as you can be for the future Queen of England. She makes dinner for her family. She, you know, chooses to live in the countryside versus the palace. And of course, you can't overlook her style. She's classic yet modern. She also wears, you know, clothes that are accessible to everybody. She's really good with her charities, does all kinds of work for different patronages like mental health, children's charities, things like that. So she's kind of a full package rather than just someone who's pretty to look at. And that's kind of why I think a lot of people and a lot of our readers especially have grown to kind of love her and to be really interested in her.
Ordinary girl thrust into extraordinary circumstances. Does she remind you of anyone? How do you think, we can see the similarities, but how is she different from Princess Diana?
Well, that's a great question. She's very much different in the terms of what she's had and the experience and the knowledge that she had going into being a member of the royal family. So Diana was very young when she married in. She didn't have a whole lot of time to adapt to the kind of lifestyle, the constant attention, the constant scrutiny of the royal family. Kate and William had been together for quite a while. They met in university at St. Andrews. So they did have quite a lot of time to kind of explore that relationship, kind of out of the media scrutiny. But then also, Kate, you know, as I said, she's well-educated. She's got that university degree. She's figured out what she wants. And William and Kate actually did split up a few times, just, you know, giving her some time, because it is quite a large commitment to commit your life to living under that kind of scrutiny. So I think that's kind of the big difference, is that Kate's been much more prepared. And we've heard reports that William is very protective of her, based, of course, on a lot on some of the experiences that happened to his mother.
Yes, good point. Now, in writing this blog, you co-write it, in fact, with a friend in Washington, D.C. That's Christine O'Brien. So how is it different for a Canadian and an American writing about the royal family?
You know, it's very different. So she's often very jealous of the fact that, you know, I'm Canadian and I can say that Kate will be my future queen, or William will be the future king. But I think that a lot of the interest that happens in the U.S. and in Canada, to a small portion as well, is that Kate offers a different kind of role model for girls. So she's, like I said, does the charitable causes, she's down to earth, and she wears clothes that cover things up. So if you think of her as kind of the antithesis to a Kardashian, she offers a different kind of role model to girls. And I think that a lot of girls are looking for different kinds of role models. And I think that's why she has such a great appeal in the U.S. specifically. So it's very different for us writing, although together we make a great team. And we actually have a larger team of contributors that are all over the world. So we have writers in the U.K. We have writers in Australia as well. So we often get a really good global sense and the global picture of everything and how it works.
Is it true that when you were young, everybody else has got rock stars, posters of rock stars on their wall, you had a photo of Prince William on your wall?
I'll say no comment. My husband might be listening.
That's before Kate came along.
You're right. Very much before Kate, yeah.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about the upcoming royal visit on your blog. Amanda, great to talk with you.
Thank you. Yeah, great to speak with you as well, Gloria.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
That's Amanda Disha. She is the co-creator and writer of the blog, What Would Kate Do? The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge will visit BC and the Yukon in late September. Eleven minutes before 4 o'clock now, and Lisa's back with us. Did you have posters on your wall?
No comment. I'll take Amanda's approach there. There are certain people you can discuss your interest or lack of.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that interview. It's one of many that were completed by What Would Kate Do in advance of the tour, and also one of many that we are planned to complete during the tour. And we love having these conversations and letting people know all about Kate and about what we do. So it was really exciting to be a part of that. Now I feel like it's the right time to talk about the actual itinerary of the tour itself, which was just released. Of course, the big news that came was that George and Charlotte will be attending with their parents to come to Canada, and we will see them for at least one public event. On the 29th, I believe, there are going to be a children's party in Victoria. We'll also see them very likely during the official arrival. Of course, as anyone who has children knows, jet lag from the UK could be quite an interesting conundrum for George and Charlotte, but we do expect to see them as they land from London directly into Victoria. And we'll also likely, like I said, see them at the children's party in Victoria. If they're feeling up to it, there has been some rumors going around that they could also attend additional events in Victoria. So we'll have to wait and see how those go. So what does their busy itinerary actually look like? So now that we actually have seen the itinerary from Kensington Palace, it's very exciting that we're going to be seeing a casual tour. I think it was actually described as casual outdoorsy. So what does that actually mean? Unfortunately, it means we're not likely going to see any tiaras. But on the positive side, we are going to see a lot of casual Kate. So think her Penelope Chilvers boots while she's hiking in the rainforest and things like that. So it's really exciting to hear that they're going to be really getting into the spirit of British Columbia and Yukon, which is well known as one of the more outdoorsy places on the planet. So if we start looking at their itinerary just from the get-go, September 24th, we're going to see them arriving into Victoria. It's likely that they're going to be arriving at the Victoria Airport before going to Government House, where they'll be based throughout the tour. We don't know exactly the timing of the arrival yet. We're thinking it's likely going to be at some point during that afternoon, because William and Kate will also be going to the cenotaph to unveil a new plaque that afternoon and undergoing an official welcome to Canada. It's at the Parliament Buildings in Victoria for anyone that is going to be around or interested in that part of the tour. And it will be open to the public. After those events, where the open to the public events, they will be going back to Government House, where they'll be having meetings with senior Canadian leaders. Who those Canadian leaders might actually be is still to be determined, whether it's the Premier of British Columbia, Christy Clark, whether it is the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, and his family, we do not know. I would highly expect that Justin and his wife, Sophie, and their children would be around for the arrival, and you can expect a whole ton of very adorable photos of the Trudeau children as well. And for those of you who don't know very much about Sophie Trudeau, she's a very stylish lady in her own right, so we'll see some excellent fashion during that photo opportunity, whether it happens then or at another part of the tour. It'll be a very exciting part. Also, if you're in Vancouver or planning to be and on September the 24th and you're not going to be able to make it over to Victoria, you can join the What Would Kate Do in Royal Central Royal Tea Party. We're going to be welcoming the royal couple to Canada with a tea party at a wonderful little tea house in downtown Vancouver. So we'll actually be looking at the arrival live, looking at doing all that fun stuff. There's prizes. It'll be a great time and an opportunity to wear a fascinator. So really good times. On September the 25th, we will see the couple make the trip over to Vancouver. They're going to be traveling by a float plane, which is very popular for traveling back and forth between Victoria and Vancouver. And they will then have a civic welcome upon arrival in Vancouver at the Jackpool Plaza. For interested parties in Vancouver or people who are coming to Vancouver or Victoria for the tour, this is definitely the best place in Vancouver that you're going to be able to get a sea of Will and Kate. So it's a public event. It's a very large space. It was a plaza that was used during the 2010 Winter Olympics. So it's got a lot of space available. And I imagine they did that because they're expecting extremely large crowds. So if you're coming to Vancouver to see the Duke or Duchess, that's definitely where I would recommend being. Time to be confirmed closer to the actual event. following that, in Vancouver, the Duke and Duchess are going to be going and doing some additional visits of the downtown east side in Vancouver, which is a part of Vancouver, which is unfortunately known for individuals with addiction issues or with homelessness issues. So it's very, very much encouraging for the community, I'm sure, to have Will and Kate go to visit some charities such as SheWe to see mothers who are battling addiction and other issues. After that, they're going to go to the Immigration Services Society of British Columbia to meet with staff and volunteers who support new immigrants coming into the country. For example, 25,000 migrants come into Canada each year. 30,000 individuals have arrived in Canada over the last year from refugee camps from Syria. So a great example of how Will and Kate are getting really into seeing what people are actually dealing with, and they're actually going to be engaging directly with Syrian refugees. They're then going to be attending an event for young leaders in arts, music, sport, charity, business, and film. I haven't got my invitation yet, but I'm eagerly anticipating it. I joke, I kid. And following that, there will be an engagement at the Kitsilano Coast Guard Station, which was just recently reopened under the Trudeau government as a way of keeping people safe, because we live on the coast here in British Columbia, that they take care of any water emergencies that happen all around Vancouver. So very important. And they will be, the Duke and Duchess will be going back to Victoria later that evening. So next we're going to see what is supposed to be the most beautiful day of the tour, or so it's been claimed, is the arrival to the Great Bear Rainforest in Bella Bella. The couple will be actually going to see an aerial tour of the rainforest, which I'm sure, again, it'll be on a float plane. It'll get really interesting for them to be able to see one of the most beautiful parts of the world. And I'm biased because I live in British Columbia, but it is very much one of the world's most important natural habitats as a forest. And the Great Bear Rainforest is one of the largest in the world. They will then be doing some ceremonious, welcoming, and ceremonial parties, kind of, when performances, and getting to know the people in the neighborhood and the First Nations communities. And following that, they are going to be traveling again back to Victoria for a formal reception hosted by the province of British Columbia for them. The next morning is the 27th of September, where they're actually going to be going to Kelowna. So Kelowna is about a 3 to 4 hour drive from Vancouver, and they're probably going to be making a flight there. I shouldn't say probably, they're definitely going to be making a flight into Kelowna from Victoria. They're going to be visiting the Okanagan campus of the University of British Columbia, which is a great school. They're also going to be able to watch an exhibition match with the volleyball team at the school. And it's a really interesting campus that just opened not that long ago. I think it's only about maybe 10 years ago that it opened in Okanagan, although UBC has been around for an extensive time in Vancouver. Following that, they're going to be going to one of my favorite places to go in Kelowna, which is the wineries. So the Duke and Duchess are going to be going to the Taste of BC Festival at the Mission Hill Winery. British Columbia actually has some amazingly delicious wines and is producing world-class wine. So it's a great opportunity to show the Duke and Duchess, as well as the world, the offerings of wine, as well as food in that part of the world. Following that, they're going to be flying to Whitehorse. They're going to arrive there in the evening and be meted by members of the Canadian Rangers, which most people will remember they also had interactions with on their last tour. And in the evening following, catch a cultural performance by the Kwanlinjin Cultural Center. They're going to be staying in Whitehorse overnight. It is quite far from Whitehorse to Victoria, so they're going to be staying in Whitehorse overnight while Charlotte and George stay in Victoria. On the 28th, we're going to see the Duke and Duchess get a chance to see the beauty of the Yukon. So they're going to go and learn about the Yukon history. Interestingly enough, the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh actually visited the Telegraph Office, which is now part of the museum, in 1959. So a royal connection there to the past. There's then going to be a party in Whitehorse, followed by a drive to an area called Carcross, which is a very small town. It's about 300 people or less that live there. So if you really want to get a chance to see the Duke and Duchess while they're in Canada, that might be the spot to get to, although very difficult to get there. They'll have a welcome by the First Nations community and then also go and look at Montana Mountain, which is one of the world's most picturesque destinations for mountain biking. After that, they're going to bid farewell to the community and go back to Victoria and the kids. On September the 29th, the day that everyone will be looking forward to with much anticipation, is when we're actually going to see Charlotte and George at the beautiful grounds of the Government House hosting a children's party. I shouldn't say hosting, attending a children's party. So it's a group of military families that have been invited to share a great morning with the prince and princess. And I think it will be an excellent lead into the couple enjoying some private time with George and Charlotte that afternoon in Victoria. On September 30th, they're going to be going to Haida Gwaii, which is in British Columbia again. It is up on the northern coast of British Columbia. It's a beautiful spot, well known for the fishing and the scenery up there. And Will and Kate will be opening the Haida Gwaii Hospital and Care Center, as well as visiting a youth center and taking in some world-class fishing, which I'm sure William will be very interested in. And on the last day of the tour, on October 1st, we're going to see the couple remaining in Victoria to do some charitable engagements. So the first one in the morning is a family childcare, youth outreach, and women with domestic violence charity. We're then going to see them take on a mental health visit by looking at a well-known British Columbia mental health charity. And an exciting one for the couple, I'm sure, will be boarding a tall ship in the harbor and really helping them actually sail the ship into the inner harbor. So it'll be a great one for photos. And I imagine we'll get to see Kate in her sailing glory again. And then following that, we will have a public official departure ceremony at the Victoria Harbor Airport. So a formal public departure as well, where we expect that we would see the kids as well. So that might be another way to see them if you're going to be in Victoria. So that really covers up our thoughts on the Canada tour, given what we know so far. We'll be updating the podcast as we can during the tour. Amanda is located in British Columbia. That's myself. And I will be reporting live from as many events as possible. I will be in Vancouver as well as Victoria. And we really thank you for taking the time to listen to the podcast and can't wait to talk to you soon. This has been a production of What Would Kate Do? Presented by Effervescence Media. Music and content are property of Effervescence Media unless otherwise mentioned. Please be sure to visit us online at www.whatwouldkatedo.com and subscribe to this podcast to never miss an episode. See you next time.